This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to the second James, the second chapter, beginning at verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18. Recorded are these words. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believe there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to speak from the subject, what does your work say about your faith? Part two. What does your work say about your faith? Part two. James deals with this very relevant issue with the church and with the believer, because faith is so necessary for the believer to become connected and to flow with God. He deals with this issue of faith because God makes clear that faith is necessary for communication, both in words and in blessings. It is important to understand that faith connects the natural world with the supernatural world. Faith calls God's attention to your belief system and how much you trust in his words. The ultimate reality of faith is the manifestation or the production of works. And so James deals with this relevant issue, and I believe it is relevant in the life of the church today, because a whole lot of folk talk faith, but they don't walk faith. Faith sounds good to talk, but if you're truly a believer, there ought to be some evidence in your life. Manifested faith is so necessary because it speaks volumes for you. You don't have to go around bragging to folk about how much you believe God, how much you trust God, how much faith you have. All you have to do is point to your works. And the very works you have speaks volumes about your faith. And the people of God must come to the point and place where their faith is evidenced by works. You know, again, we have so many fancy and well-sounding cliches in the church, and we love to throw them out, but yet you never see any of the evidence of those claims by people of God. The world is looking for you to manifest those faith words just as much as the church is in need of you producing the works of faith. baby Christians are looking for mature Christians to show them how to develop their faith, operate in faith, walk in authority in faith, and be able to share that faith with others. And James makes clear to the church that there are things we can say, but what really matters is what we do. Man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, but listen at this. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, what he was really saying was, you know what? There is no reality in your faith without any works. You really don't have faith if you don't have works to judge your faith. And so if you can tell me you've got faith and don't have works to back it up, then I'll show you what real faith looks like by my works. And believers are so caught up on talking faith talk and not walking it until they never expect the manifestation of faith to materialize in their lives. We say God is good all the time, and he is. But not many of us experience the full flowing blessings of the Lord in our lives because we really don't expect it. Now, I can be honest with you, we don't deserve it. But neither did we deserve salvation, and he gave it to us. It wasn't because of us, it was because of him. And then Romans 12:3 says he gave every one of us a measure of faith. So you've got faith. The question is, where have you placed it? Because as I stated earlier, you have faith, whether you put it in positive things or in negative things, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. If you say things like, I never win, or nothing good ever happens to me, or people always saying something bad about me, whatever you say, even in the negative, you are operating in your faith, and it will produce works of that kind. That's why you've got to be careful about the negative things you let come out of your mouth, because your faith will produce it. I can't ever find the right person. That's why you keep getting zero after zero after zero. Whatever negative thing you say, your faith is capable of operating in the negative and producing the fruit of that negativity. Be careful what you say. Know that what you say has potential, has power built in those words. It is the same reality through which God spoke in the beginning. From his mouth, those words, and they became alive, and they actually materialized. We have that same power vested in us because of God and the faith that he's given to us. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. You, how many folk you gonna ask, do they have faith around church? Gonna say, oh no, I ain't got no faith. No, preacher, I ain't got no faith. No, he gonna say, oh, I have faith. I believe, but they don't expect, nor do they walk in, nor do they receive what they say they have faith in. They don't even operate as though they're expecting the manifestation of what they claim. And so the reality is that we've got to rise above just talking faith and begin to walk faith. Because once you say it, listen, you ought to start expecting to see it. Once you say it, you ought to start moving in that direction. You ought to do what it is you say you're going to do by faith. And not to do that means that you don't have the faith that you claim you have. Let's go back in Jesus' time. Take the woman with the issue of blood, for example. That woman heard about Jesus, but what did she hear? He was a healer. If you back up to the story before that, that was a man who was possessed with demons. He'd fall into the fire sometime and then into water. I mean, he ripped all his clothes off, ran around naked in the cemetery, cutting himself, screaming and hollering. But Jesus came. And Jesus removed the demons from his life. And the man sat before Jesus. Look at what he did. He put clothes on because he was in his right mind. So one of the things it tells me about people who are not in their right clothes is they don't like to wear clothes. They showing everything that the law allows them to show on public streets. But then here's the next thing about it. They can't sit still. They get up, they're always moving, they're nervous, they just ain't no peace in them to allow them to sit down. Always got to be parading, and as my grandma used to say, sashaying. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to be seen. Listen, but when the demons were gone, he was clothed, he put on some clothes. Recognize, I'm naked. And then he sat down in his right mind and heard Jesus. Well, then Jesus then told him to go on back to his folk and to his town and so forth. And this man started telling everybody he met what Jesus had done for him. And no doubt this woman with the issue of blood crossed his path. And he was telling her that Jesus could free me of demons. He can heal you. And after the woman heard of Jesus, she started saying, after she had been to every doctor she could, spent all that she had, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And because she believed that, listen, she kept first of all speaking that. She built up her most holy faith. She kept speaking. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. If I could but touch the hem. See, listen, what she did was started forming her faith according to Romans 10 and 17. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She kept forming, shaping, molding her faith by speaking the words of God. And then when she got to Jesus, she didn't say, I think I'm going to have a conference with him after he gets through speaking. She didn't say, I hope he has a healing line so he can lay hands on me and anoint me with oil, and then I'm going to get my healing. She saw the great crowds around him, and she didn't change her confession. If I could touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made. So the word says she went behind him. And she bowed to the ground, which meant she humbled herself. See, the reason why a whole lot of you can't get your blessings is you're too bigoted. Well, I ain't got to do all of that. I mean, I'm a man, he a man. I'm going to look him in his eyes and tell him I need a healing, Jesus. She wasn't trying to be seen. She had a mind made up. If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she stooped down and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says immediately the blood stopped, the flow. And Jesus felt virtue, power leave out of his body and said, somebody touch me. And naysayers and negative folk and folk who don't know the real power of God shouted out, Lord, all these people, everybody's touching you. Yeah, Jesus inferred, though, but this person that touched me had faith. Because only faith can release the power of God. Only faith can touch God's heart. Only faith can reach God so that God releases his resources. Listen at this. Faith worked without Jesus's attention or approval. Somebody didn't get that. I say faith worked without his attention or his approval. He was still ministering when he said, somebody touched me. He didn't know that woman was there. He was ministering, so she didn't have his attention. Secondly, he didn't approve her of that miracle. Her faith went straight on up to glory and got God's stamp of approval. And when she touched him, that healing power left Jesus and went into her. And look at what the 34th verse of the 5th chapter of Mark says. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so he says, your faith laid the groundwork for your healing. Your faith lays the groundwork for your blessing. Your faith lays the groundwork for your miracle. Don't just talk faith. Believe God and walk in your faith. Say it, now do it. Believe God. Understand that God is not a man that he should lie. He is faithful. He'll do what his word says he will do. Get his word in you so that you will know how to operate in faith. Look at what James goes on to say. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. But look at what he goes on to say next. The devils also believe and tremble. See, I love the way James calls them out, and James makes clear, you know, you ain't fooling nobody. Yeah, you've got the religious verbiage down. Yeah, you know all of the phraseology of church folk, all that good stuff. But listen at this. You don't understand that it takes more than talk. You believe there is one God. And here's what folks say. You believe, I believe God. There ain't but one God. We'll say stuff like that. But we don't really believe it. The reason we don't believe it is because we don't act like it. Our actions are not connected with our conversation. And so as a result of that, James calls them out. He says, the devils also believe. So you ain't doing nothing super spiritual by saying you believe there's one God. The devils also believe. But here's what the devils do in addition to believe. They tremble. Here's what the devils know, that God has the power to destroy them in a moment at the coming back of Christ and taking over of his kingdom. He has the power to do anything he wants to do. They tremble because they know Jesus is the only one who could put their life to end and start their reign in hell eternally. They are scared of him because they fear him. And you say you know him and ain't got sense enough to tremble. You say you believe God, and yet you don't act like God sees everything you do, hears everything you say, can stop your life at any moment, can take back all of his blessings, can do this and do that. You say you believe God. But the devils have sense enough to tremble, and you don't. Listen, he's calling them out. He says, but wilt thou know, listen to this, O vain man, calling them for what they are. But wilt thou know? You don't really know. It's the same know that Jesus spoke of when he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, when will you know? Wilt thou No. That is the ability to know experientially. Not just something you heard, not something you read, but the fact that you know by way of relationship with God that God is God all by himself. He's sovereign and can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and can't nobody say nothing about it. No wonder Paul says in Romans 8:31, if God be for you, who can be against you? When you've got God on your side and you believe in God, you have the majority. You're around here fearing man and what man can do when you ought to fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. Around here don't want man to get mad with you, don't want displease man. My brother, my sister, let me give you a little wisdom for free. Forget what man feels and says. You ought to be concerned about what God feels and what he says. I'd much rather man be mad with me than to have God mad with me. Man don't wake me up in the morning. Man don't give me my blessings and take care of me and look beyond my faults, and man don't do all of the things that God does for me. And listen, and what man does do, God ordered him to. He'll make the haters bless you while still hating you. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. And they don't even know why they did it. But that's the kind of God I serve. I'd much rather man to be upset with me than God be upset with me. And so he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, looking for the approval of men, trying to be men pleasers, trying to talk the talk but don't want to walk the walk, trying to act like they know when the truth is they really don't, because they've not had a true experience and relationship with God that touches their lives and turn them around and places them in the right state with God. So they're vain. You know what vain folk are? Vain folk are church folk. Believers are Christians. There is a difference between church folk and Christians. Church folk are vain folk. They speak what they don't believe. They act out even in church. They go through the motions as if it were not a reality to God. God sees them and they act like they don't even care, but here is the truth. They don't really know that he does. They don't believe the word when it says his eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the bad. They don't really know that God knew where you were. Yes, did he? Doing what you did, and then you want to come in his house and talk about lifting up holy hands when you just came out of an unholy hell. God sees that. God sees when the music starts playing that you still have your partners confused, that your dance still looks like you're dancing on the dance floor with your partners in the ballroom, the lounge, the club, whatever you want to call it. We've far removed from saloon, but you know, even those of you still have that mentality. See, because listen, you don't lose your dance when you become saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You just change your moves. But I can look at some of you all, and you still got the same moves you had when you were in the world. And you sometimes forget yourself. Don't close your eyes and don't forget where you're going and where you are. You, oh, you get you. Oh, you dip a little too low, come back up, too much swerve in your hips, and if folk, and if you open your eyes and say, oh Lord Jesus, I'm in church. Provocative moves that stir up the flesh, not something holy and modest before God.
What'd you say?
Something's wrong with the vanity of man, but it's all about a show, and it's all about what they want folk to see. And he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, here it is, and I'm closing, that faith without works is dead, period. Faith without works. If you want to judge how deep, how strong, how wide your faith is, just check out your own works. I'm talking about a survey of your own. I'm not talking about you looking at somebody else's. What do you have to present as your works before God? What works do you want God to bless because of your faith? What can you say and present to the Lord, dedicated unto God as works unto him? And many of you are sitting there thinking in your mind right now and can't think of one thing. But the reason this message is preached is not to condemn you, but it's to inspire you to stop talking the talk and walk the walk. Before life is over and too late, do works that please God, that God will be honored in, that God will be glorified in, that God will take pleasure in, because it represents those who are truly of the kingdom of God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.